Hi, this is George. From
Hi, George. This is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy.
Hi. So far, we're the only two on the call.
Cool. I was just about to decode the pass code, 73223, and see if it spelled anything.
Spells peace.
It does. Ah,
yeah.
There you go. You beat me to it.
The same passcode that I've used forever. Remember Piece of the Action, Camp Out Now?
Oh, that's right. That's why I thought of it. There you go.
The only thing that's different is the phone number. I had that number for years, but all of a sudden it just got too many glitches, so I had to change. I actually had to re-register for the conference service, but oh well.
Is this a free service, or do you have to pay for
it? Yeah, free. It has really good features that are really user-friendly. So, today was my granddaughter's fourth birthday party.
Oh my gosh, happy birthday.
And her birthday is not till next Sunday, but we had the party today, and we had it out at a pumpkin patch, and the wind is just fierce, and all of the dust and the hay and everything was flying all over, and my throat is all getting all closed up again.
So, how are you feeling?
Other than that, I'm starting to feel better.
Okay.
Because
I know we had to skip last week.
Right.
And then you went out too.
I had so many people already call. Somebody called at 3:30. Somebody called a little bit before 4. Somebody called a little bit after 4. And so...
There you go.
Hello? Someone just come on? Yes, Dee Dee. George is on the phone. He's the only one so far between you and I.
Hi, Dee Dee.
Besides you and I. Hey, George. How are you?
Good, good. Are you down in L.A. or up here?
No, I'm up here right now.
Cool.
I'm in the bathroom next to Cindy right now.
Good. I got to run into Andy and Marcia and a bunch of people from Peace and Freedom at the October 22nd rally in Sacramento. So that was good.
Yeah, I saw the picture.
Cool.
I don't know about you, but we went from like 80-something degrees yesterday and balmy to just like freezing ass cold today.
Yeah, it's a little cooler today, and down here, just kind of compared to the rest of the Bay Area, it'll be cooler at night and a little hotter in the day.
Mm-hmm.
But
someone else just came on.
Hi, this is Maureen in Santa Cruz.
Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
This is Cindy.
Hi, Cindy. Good to hear your voice.
You too. Thank you. So we got Santa Cruz and then San Jose on the line so far, and myself and the webmaster or mistress. So the web person, I should say.
Well, it's normal for people to kind of come online as their clocks remind them if they look at them.
Yeah.
I'm not a big clock watcher.
Well, unfortunately, we had to change the day till today, and not only did we have to change the day, but we had to change the time, because today was my granddaughter's birthday party. So I think some people got confused, because three people have already called in. And one person called in, but they called the old number that we had last week. So I think people are confused.
Last week never took place?
No, because I was sick. So we were supposed to have it last week at 4, and then I had like a relapse of this virus I've been having. So we rescheduled it for today at 5. So I think some people got a little confused. But I just heard someone come on.
Yeah, I just came on. This is Jolie from San Rafael.
Jolie, hi, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
Much better, thanks. Good. So it's 5:03. I propose that we just chat for a couple more minutes and then start the call. It's going to be very informal. And if no, you know, not many more people come on the call, we'll just leave it where everybody is unmuted. But if more people come, we're going to have to mute our lines. So
how do we mute our lines if we need to?
You do *6, but I can also do that from my control panel here in the conference manager. So, but, you know, like I said, if we don't get any more people, I don't think it's going to be that big of an issue anyway. Usually we just mute it, so a lot of times the background noise where people are really, it's really distracting. So, but I don't seem to have any of that right now. I don't hear any interference. Is anybody else having a problem? Is everybody else hearing okay?
My problem is from my own phone. It only affects me.
And I'm good, Cindy.
Okay. So, speaking of phones, my 2-year-old grandson dropped my cell phone in my cup of coffee, like, on Tuesday. So I've been out of a cell phone for almost a week now. So adorable. He's so cute. You just can't get mad at him. If he was a 10-year-old grandchild, I could probably get mad at him, but the little 2-year-old did. He was just dipping it in my coffee. It was just right there. It's probably more my fault than his fault. Okay, so I thought my campaign manager was going to be on, but he hasn't called in yet. So I'll just get started, and like I said, it's going to just be very informal. I know you guys, and you know me, so I just want to talk a little bit about what we're doing so far in the campaign. And Dee Dee Miller, my sister, and the web person for Cindy 2014 is on the line, too, if anybody has any questions about that. But, so, I'm running for governor, obviously, of the state of California, and I'm very excited that we have everybody on is in California and from California. And the big thing that's coming up for the campaign will be signature gathering. And we have to get 10,000 signatures. Now, I don't know if everybody's all familiar with Proposition 14 that made the primary is basically, the primary is in June. The primary is basically an open primary, and before the parties would run for the primary to see who was going to be on the general election. So if there was an open seat, many Democrats would run to get the nomination, and many Republicans would run. And the Green Party, Peace and Freedom, Libertarians, that's what would happen, is that people would run in the primary, and then the top vote getters usually would move on to the general election of all the parties. Now it's just the top two vote getters. It doesn't matter what party these people are in. And we saw it in the last election, I think, 2010 gubernatorial, and then and congressional. We've seen since then where every race in the general is either a Democrat and a Republican, or a Republican and a Republican, or a Democrat and a Democrat. So used to be before Prop 14 that you would be able to get Maureen. Are you Maureen from the Peace and Freedom Party?
Yes.
Okay.
It's been devastating. It has been. The only way, and they're trying to close that off too, the only way we were able to even get anybody in the last election into the final election was by running against someone who had nobody else running against them, having a write-in campaign to get on the ballot. But now they're trying to do away with the write-in campaigns to get on the ballot also. So they're just locking in this horrible system. But,
well, and,
we have hope, Cindy.
Huh?
I said we have hope, Cindy.
Yeah. So unfortunately, also, is that if you were a member of a party, you would just need to get a small amount of signatures from people in your party to get you on the ballot. Now everybody has to get a percentage of registered vote, or the people who voted in the last election for that office. So we have to get 10,000 signatures to get on the ballot, and that process begins December 27th. I think it goes to February 15th, and then from February 15th or soon after to March 10th, we have time to make up the signatures that weren't valid. We can't make up signatures. For example, say we get 8,000 signatures and 6,000 of them are valid. So we would have another almost month to get 2,000 more signatures, not to make up to the 10,000. But we also can pay for signatures now. It's a lot less than it was when I ran for Congress. It's like 25 cents a signature. So I don't know if that sounded really confusing to everybody, but so basically we have less than 2 months to get, looks like someone else from Santa Cruz came on.
Somebody from Santa Cruz?
Yeah, it's another 831 number.
Oh, it could be Monterey. Who just came on? Huh.
Well, that person's gone. I guess they didn't want to be identified. So basically, we have less than 2 months to get 10,000 signatures. Now, Dee Dee and George are on the call, and they know the process we went through to get that many signatures when I ran for Congress. And we had a longer amount of time to do it, but we had less voters to do it. You know what I mean? We had a smaller voter pool because we were just getting it from one congressional district, not the entire state. So that's the big thing that's coming up, is that we need people to, in each county, we need people to take lead in that signature gathering. And I know the Peace and Freedom Party is having a meeting coming up, and a big part of that meeting is going to be discussing the signature drive and how we can help each other, because we have to gather signatures for other offices too, that for Peace and Freedom Party people. And so we need people from each county, because we're not sure whether we have to. Marcia Feinland, we had someone else come on from 845 area code.
Yes.
Who are you?
Rich McHugh from Salisbury Mills, New York.
Oh, hi, Rich. Thanks
for
calling.
You're welcome.
We're doing fine, thanks. So we're just talking about the signature gathering process. So Marcia Feinland, who is the treasurer of my campaign, and who, of course, has run for office many times herself, she thinks that we can turn the signatures in to the Secretary of State and not just to the county. But what would be better is if we had a person for each county that was in charge of getting the petitions to people in that county, gathering them, and then turning them into their own secretary or their county elections office. Dee Dee, did I get that right? Remember from the last conference call what Marcia was saying?
Yeah, I believe that's what she said.
But of course, we have 2 months before the signature gathering starts from today. So hopefully we'll have all of this stuff ironed out and all of the volunteers in place for doing the signature gathering. Now, we did get all the signatures in San Francisco because I ran as the client to state, and we could not pay per signature if we didn't get them. We had to collect every single last signature. And to get 10,000, I think it was like 10,185 valid signatures, we had to collect almost 25,000 signatures. So we didn't. We got on the ballot. And the second piece of, hopeful information is that if top two were the law in 2008 when I ran against Nancy Pelosi, then I would have gone to the general election because I came in second against her. And so I've looked at the crop of Republicans that are thinking of running, like Abel Maldonado, and it doesn't seem to me that they have anybody that is, exciting or, I hate to say exciting because I hope that people look more, look very closely at our platform and what we stand for, but it doesn't seem like they have anybody that is, really a household name or that people outside of people who pay attention to politics would know about. So there's a very excellent chance that I would come in second. And we don't even know for sure if Brown is running. We're pretty sure he's going to because he's already raised $10 million, over $10 million. So there's an excellent chance that I may come in second and go on to the general election. So that's hopeful, and that's exciting, and it just gives us longer to talk about the issues that are important to us. And I think everybody on this phone call knows the issues that are important to, not just Cindy 2014, not just the Peace and Freedom Party, but the Californians, the human beings. We stand for things like healthcare, education, jobs, basic guaranteed income, environment that's healthy. We stand for all of these things that I think most of the people in the world are on our side with. So that's about what we have to update on the campaign. We have our website, cindy2014.org. We would like it if people could start forwarding our website and our information and our newsletters to their networks. We are going very, very slowly on the fundraising. We're hoping that will pick up speed. We have a money blossom coming up that's supposed to bloom on October 31st. And it's a thing where people pledge a certain donation, and then the money gets taken from their bank accounts or their credit cards or whatever on October 31st. And some people call them money bombs, but we're peace activists, so we call them blossoms. We don't agree with bombs. And so there's many things for example, Brown just got, he was just awarded an environmental award, which the campaign thought was totally ridiculous. And we went and we protested Brown. Of course, Brown is fighting the federal government to make conditions in the prisons better by alleviating the overcrowding. I'm not so sure the federal government cares that much about, you know, the way prisoners are treated, but they do want the overcrowding. And Brown is fighting that, and we're fighting him on that. Of course, Brown just opened up more of the Monterey Shale Formation for fracking with very, very limited environmental controls for the companies. He's trying to make it easier to pollute in California by allowing the major polluters like Chevron to do carbon credits and carbon trading. So there, and then, of course, after Fukushima, and still, Brown is saying that nuclear power is safe. And obviously, that's just a bunch of bullshit. So there's many things. People are like, oh, Cindy, but, you know, don't you, like, agree with Brown? Well, no, I don't agree with Brown on very many things. You know, once in a while, he'll sign this bill that really is mostly for show and doesn't have any substantive change that I would agree with, but there's anything that is substantial, we fundamentally disagree with each other. So that's like, if anybody has any questions or comments, you know, go ahead and say what your name is and where you're from, and just jump in, because there's only seven of us on the call.
Hi, Cindy.
Six of us on the call.
Hi, Cindy. This is George.
Hi.
Hey,
George.
So I have two comments.
Pat, where are you from for the other people?
Oh, San Jose, California. And I worked on Cindy's 2008 campaign, primarily on the signature gathering. So that's one of the comments I wanted to make, was on the signature gathering, and the other is Proposition 14. But, Cindy, you had mentioned that we have a much larger voter pool this time around compared to 2008, which was just San Francisco. But I'm thinking that the limitation is going to be not the size of the voter pool, but it's going to be the number of signature gatherers that we have.
Right.
So,
right.
For example, if we have 10 signature gatherers and they're spread out between 10 different counties, in California, or we have those 10 gatherers and concentrate them all in San Francisco, I think we're going to, it's not going to be much difference as far
right.
as the size of the pool helping us. So that's one of the kind of comments and questions I have, is I can concentrate down here during the signature gathering in Santa Clara County, and maybe that's a good thing to help get the, you know, the campaign going down here, but I'm thinking I would probably be able to collect a lot more signatures, for example, in San Francisco. So I'm looking for some indication from the campaign how
mm-hmm.
we want to approach that.
Well, I thought that when we were protesting the environmental award, that, you know, I know we discussed it.
Yeah.
And you said you spent a lot of time in Oakland and Alameda County, and I think, you know, you got two valid points. One, if you gather signatures in Santa Clara County, it raises awareness for the campaign. But two, if you gather signatures in Oakland or Alameda, you're probably going to get more signatures. So I think it's my own opinion that we got to get on the ballot. So I would, but then we can also pay for the signatures that we don't collect, but we don't want to use our money to pay for signatures. First of all, that's like super undemocratic the way everything is set up. So my opinion would be you go wherever you think you're going to get the most signatures.
And then the question there is it okay for me to be out of my county?
Yes. Yes, Marcia said that anybody can collect signatures anywhere, as long as you're a resident of California.
Very good. That makes me happy. And then I had a comment on Proposition 14. As you remember, I worked on Carol Brulé's 2012, was it, campaign? That was a congressional campaign she ran as Green Party candidate against Anna Eshoo was the main candidate up against her. And you know how I approached that when I, most of the people I ended up going out and talking to were Anna Eshoo supporters. And what I said to them is, Anna Eshoo would be, she's a shoo-in. She is going to make the cut, and her name will be on the ballot. But the decision you can make now in the primary election is to decide who you want to go up against that candidate.
Right.
A vote in that case for Anna Eshoo by an Anna Eshoo supporter was really a wasted vote, because she was going to get there anyway. There was no question. But who do you want to her to debate against? If it's just the Republican candidate, then there really is no debate. But here, the Peace and Freedom candidate, you, Cindy Sheehan, is someone who can really debate Jerry Brown and give him a race for his money. So that's the way I pitched it, not necessarily to turn someone into a Cindy Sheehan supporter at that point in time, but just to make the case for them on the primary to vote for you, so that we have a real race, we have a real debate leading up to November. And that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you, George.
Maureen from Santa Cruz. Mike and I I think we can get at least 500, maybe 1,000 signatures. I don't know. But that's a lot. To me, 6 weeks is a good amount of time, and more than 6 weeks, actually. I want to concentrate here, maybe go to Monterey County. I like the idea that it's spread out across the state, because it helps get the word out in the hinterlands, if you will. And I think that's really important. If we, I can't imagine that we can't get at least 25, 40 people from Peace and Freedom Party that are getting signatures. If we can't do that, then it's pretty sad. But I think that we will. I think we will. I don't feel sad at all, and I think what you said earlier about the actual possibility of making it is true, but it's going to take work on our parts, and I'm excited about the campaign, really excited. I sent in a couple hundred of your latest, the one that listed this meeting. Already, and unfortunately I don't have lists anymore. When I switch computers, I just have hundreds of email names, so I'm just sending to everybody. I didn't care if the Republican, see if it helps. I'm pressing the money issue because I think it's important to raise money early, and getting people to pledge, I think it's really critical. But I think we can also recruit some other people locally, that in Santa Cruz at least, that will get signatures.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't believe we can't get people from Monterey. I remember when the Monterey people had you speak in Santa Cruz, but they never advertised it in Santa Cruz, so you didn't get a big crowd. But they came all the way from Monterey to Santa Cruz. If they're willing to do that, I'm sure that you're going to find some people willing to get signatures. So I'm feeling pretty good. And if somebody, if a few people do Santa Clara County, I think it's really important. I think each county is important to get your name out there and to get people during the process, I'm also going to see if we can get people, some people, to register Peace and Freedom Party, because, you know,
right,
we're trying to get about another 40,000 registrants, so in order to stay on the ballot after the gubernatorial election.
Right.
Anyway, I've said enough.
Well, I wanna say too is that I do get a lot of support from Santa Cruz, Monterey area. It'd be great if during that time, the December to February 15th time, if we could have an event down there. Yeah, it would be like for fundraising, signature gathering, and you know, to get people registered, Peace and Freedom. So if we can set something up, and then Jolie is on the phone, and Jolie is in Marin County, and Marin County is also a stronghold for support for me. So
yeah,
it would be a great place to go to during that short, you know, 6 or 7 week period until the 15th, and then we do have until March 10th, but that's just to make up the bad signatures, not to get any more new signatures. So, Jolie, did you have any questions or input?
Yeah, well, I would love to work on getting an event together for you down here, and I'm really excited that you're going to be running. And my only question was, do these have to be all actual physical signatures, or can we get people to sign online on the Internet?
Oh, no.
No, I think at this point it has to be actual physical signatures.
Okay.
And I presumed that everybody knew that the people who sign have to be registered voters. But I just found out that the people who gather signatures do not have to be registered voters. But the people of the signatures we collect, and before Prop 14, they could only be from your own party. Now the signatures can be any registered voter. And when I was in San Francisco, we got a lot of support from Republicans, mostly people who hated Nancy Pelosi. But except for, you know, there's some very conservative areas in California, but California is really, a lot of the Republicans I know here are moderates. You know, there, I do know some extreme right-wing jackasses, but a lot of them are moderate. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that we would get a lot of signatures from Republicans, especially if they don't have, you know, that great of a candidate.
I think so.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So,
if you have...
Yeah, I would just, we can coordinate, like, some ideal time zones, time frames, for you to come down here, and, I'm happy to work on some stuff. I think this is a great area for you, and, I know we can get a lot of support.
Right. Well, so we will try to coordinate a date for me to be there, and I'll get the information to my campaign manager, too, so we can, figure something out. Because I think those would be two key areas for me to also visit. During the campaign, I'm, committed to visiting every county at least one time. So even if it's a county that only has, like, 3 people in it, I'm gonna go and visit it for some reason. So, Rich from New York, did you have any comments or questions?
I just wondered, I see you have Dr. Caldicott on tomorrow night on your online conversation. I mean, you always have had very important people, you know, that really, I just wonder, is your word getting further out there? Because, you know, you've been probably visiting a lot of colleges, and there probably should be grassroots support because of many of your views concerning the United States and how we interact with other nations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because you're much broader than just California.
Exactly.
And
you're
focusing on California. I remember as a youth when Governor Brown first started out, he seemed to be the progressive person, and then I don't know what happened, but his Jesuit values seemed to have left him. And he's come up with
maybe
this.
He went to just like general Catholic Church values.
Could be. But I mean, it just seems he's completely done 360, and you're the one with these important views that people really have to start listening to. And I mean, do you have support at the colleges to help you with these signatures? And do you have anybody? I mean, with everything that's gone on in your life since I've seen you from the beginning, you must have friends as well that are. Could help influence some voters and help you speak out as well.
Well, we do have some people working on getting us some college energy, and I believe that a lot of the Occupy movement happened because young people had these college degrees and they had so much debt that they couldn't find jobs, and so a lot of the energy for Occupy happened around that. And, of course, our platform is free education from preschool through university and to forgive student debt as much as you can in the state. But as far as, you know, I do have national and international ties, links, renown. But I've run for 2 federal offices now. I ran for Congress, and then last year I ran for Vice President.
Right.
And I think that politics should be local in nature. And even running in California, California has more population than many countries. You know, California has a bigger population than Venezuela, for example. But then I look at Venezuela and I see what Hugo Chavez was able to do in his years as president. And, you know, he has been a shining example to, you know, leftists around the world, but also other countries in Latin America and the Caribbean that have followed his lead because of his inspiration. So that's what I'm trying to do here in California. I'm trying to run for essentially the president of this country that's bigger than many, many other countries in the world, but to transform it into this people's paradise of worker control, community control, all of these social programs, you know, that are human rights, not privileges. And then if we can do that here in California, then we provide like a roadmap or a path that other people can organize around politically and socially in other states, and then, you know, in other countries as well. So California has the economy, the population, and the resources that we, the people, can use for this positive revolution. I just wrote something on my blog this week. You know, we're not talking about these elections coming up in 2014. We're talking about a revolution. We're talking about organizing the revolution and using the opportunity of electoral politics to get that message out and to get that energy going. And so it's not going to stop in June, and if I don't get in the top 2, and if I do, it's not going to stop in November. It's something that is an ongoing thing, and I've done many things since my son was killed to raise awareness about peace and about social justice and about the environment. And I think this, I see this as an organizing tool to organize communities, to organize workplaces, to organize people, you know, into groups that we can work together for the change that we need. So that, you know, that's what I see this gubernatorial run as. It's not just local to California. It is still national and international.
Well, you certainly have a lot of passion in what's happened, you know, since what's happened to your son, and I just feel that many people around the country have to understand that, and I think those, unfortunately, who have lost their sons or daughters to the crackpot situation since we've been there since over now, what, 2001. It just amazes me that you're really the only spokesperson out there. And I can't believe that, you know, I hope they communicate with you. I can't believe there's nobody else because you've done quite a bit and you're well-spoken.
Oh, thank you, Rich. So, and what you can do from out of state, of course, is to spread the word about the campaign. When I ran for Congress, we had organized so many people from outside the district and outside the state to make calls into San Francisco to talk to the voters, you know, to encourage them to vote for me. So we'll have that in this campaign, too, that people from all over can volunteer to help the campaign in any way. I think the most important thing to do at this moment, though, is to help us spread the word, is to help us get, like I said, our newsletter, our Facebook page, our Twitter account, you know, to get that steam rolling, especially for this money blossom that's dropping on the 31st. So, or blooming, it's blooming on the 31st. So, does anybody else have any other comments or questions?
I just have one question, Cindy, and I wrote to Andy and told him how the Oregon Progressive Party was interested in having you as a speaker if you're able to get up there. No particular time was mentioned, but they... the contact I have up there thought that they could raise some money for your campaign. So I know Zach and Andy on that, so I wanted to make sure you also knew about that.
Okay, great.
It's not a rush or anything. It could be any time, but I figured for the money part, the sooner the better, or the timing that you have that works out best for you, you know, with all of your other plans. But it's not that far. Portland isn't too bad.
Right. I had a couple of fundraising trips outside the state when I ran against Pelosi, and of course outside the district also, down in Los Angeles and in the Bay Area. So I think one of the issues is, though, in this run against Brown or the run against Obama last year, is that when I ran against Nancy Pelosi, in 2008, I thought a lot of people perceived it as I was running against Bush because, you know, Nancy Pelosi refused to impeach Bush. Nancy Pelosi refused to take war funding off the table. So, so it was a little bit different. They still perceived it as an anti-Republican thing when to me it was an anti-empire thing. So the energy is a little different when you run against somebody who has, like Rich said, has the perception of being progressive, but which is a fake, a false perception with Obama, and it's totally a false perception against Brown too. So getting the word out and getting you know, people understanding why we even have to run against Brown is the most important thing that we can do right now. And I think Andy has, Andy Kahn, my campaign manager, he was one of the major organizers in that October 22nd anti-police brutality thing, and that's the last commitment he had that's not the campaign. So from now forward, he's 100%, you know, his time is 100% for the campaign now. So I will remind him about the Oregon Progressives, and I will tell him that you and Jolie are interested in organizing or working on something for me to go to Santa Cruz and Marin County.
Great.
Excellent. Okay, everybody. Thanks so much for calling in and keep in contact with us and with the campaign, and we're going to have at least one of these a month. Oh, and I want to say, too, is that we want to have house parties where I Skype in. So I can be there, but I'll be there via Skype, and so that'll get us into more you know, living rooms and community centers or whatever also. So that's something that we're working on. We're working on a street heat team because we think any protest of anything in the state, there should be Cindy 2014 people there with signs and petitions and voter registration to get the word out. Okay, everybody.
Oh, will we have signs? Will we have official campaign signs? That's a question.
We have campaign signs now.
Oh, I have. Who has them? Where do you get them?
Can we get them through the website yet?
Yeah, I'm going to have the PDFs up on the website soon. I just didn't get a clear enough version for it to look good in printing. So they will be some up. If you guys want to send me an email reminding me you want signs as soon as possible, I'll put you at the top of the list, and it's just ed@cindy2014.org.
Yeah, and for
how
me...
How do you spell it? Just E-D-I-E?
Oh, I'm sorry. D-E-D-E.
Dee. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, Dee. You're welcome.
Great.
Yeah, and this is George. I have access to a color printer at work, and so any kind of flyers, anything like that, if those PDFs are up there, then I'm kind of self-sufficient in that respect. I can print them out and start getting them out there. So that would be real helpful, Dee, any kind of flyers or promotional, you know, material.
Yeah. I can send you the PDF of the flyer I have right away, George. Okay, I just don't have it up on the website yet. We're going to have yard signs, window signs, the flyers, all that up on the website very soon.
Thank you.
Great.
And buttons very soon,
oh,
too.
Oh, that's another problem. Okay, great. I'll be looking for that.
Okay, everybody. Have an awesome rest of your evening, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you, Cindy, and but just let us know whatever you need, because we have some time, and we're willing to do, if you have a special thing you need done, that we're able to do.
Perfect.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.